data breaches. You hear the phrase every single day. And frankly, it feels like an endless uphill battle.
It really does.
Businesses are spending staggering amounts on security, increasing their budgets year after year. Yet the risk keeps rising. It's truly disheartening when you realize the vast majority of those resources are going toward catching the problem after it's already happened.
It's the critical flaw in modern cybersecurity strategy. You see it so clearly reflected in the numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, we were looking at this fresh 2025 research, and a striking 1 in 3 enterprises experienced a significant data breach in just the preceding 12 months.
1 in 3.
1 in 3. That statistic doesn't just suggest a gap, it proves there's a huge disconnect between the investment in security tools and the actual real-world protection you get against data theft.
Okay, let's unpack this. We've looked at a substantial stack of sources today that all point toward a critical shift in mindset. Our mission is to distill the knowledge you need to move beyond simply reacting to incidents and instead build a true proactive prevention strategy. I mean, what exactly is the difference between catching a thief after they've left the building and stopping them at the door?
That analogy perfectly illustrates the core of our deep dive. Data breach prevention. It's the active practice of stopping sensitive data from being exposed, stolen, or exfiltrated by unauthorized parties in the first place.
So it's different from just general data loss.
Fundamentally different. Data loss could be anything. Data gets deleted, it gets corrupted. Prevention is specifically about controlling data movement and blocking that exfiltration, making sure that valuable data stays inside the network.
And the stakes couldn't be higher for you, the learner, regardless of whether you're running a massive enterprise or securing a small firm. We aren't just talking about a technical failure.
No, not at all. We're talking about severe bottom line impact. Absolutely. Beyond the reputational damage and the regulatory scrutiny, we found that 28% of companies suffer a direct, measurable financial loss from a breach.
28%.
So shifting focus to proactive prevention isn't just, you know, good governance. It's a necessary financial strategy.
That sets the stage beautifully. If our goal is to stop data from leaving, we have to understand how it's getting out. And the landscape today is, it's incredibly complex. You're dealing with hybrid work, third parties, AI-powered attacks.
Exactly. The sources we analyzed identified 6 major vectors for a breach, but here's the key insight. They all share one thing.
What's that?
They don't necessarily rely on, you know, deep code flaws. They exploit complexity, they exploit extended networks, and critically, they exploit human trust. This is all about bypassing the perimeter defenses entirely.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Let's start with that human element.
Threats 1 and 2, they center entirely on identity and trust, basically turning legitimate access against you.
So threat 1 is phishing and credential theft. It's a classic attack, right? Pricking users with a fake email or a login page to steal their keys.
It is, but the sophistication has just increased dramatically. The sources point out that once the credentials are stolen, the attacker doesn't need to break in anymore.
He's a walk-in.
They just walk in as a legitimate user, bypass all those expensive perimeter tools, and can quietly start locating and exfiltrating data over time without setting off any obvious alarms.
So what's the prevention focus there? It can't just be, don't click the link.
No, it goes way beyond basic training. It starts with foundational stuff, but aggressively enforced. You need mandatory multi-factor authentication everywhere, you need to apply least privilege access, and you need ongoing relevant training. But proactively, you also need real-time monitoring for abnormal login patterns.
What do you mean by abnormal?
Not just, oh, someone logged in from a weird country. It's behavioral. For instance, a finance user who normally looks at 2 databases suddenly queries, you know, 50 gigabytes from a completely different server at 2 a.m.
That behavioral change is the tell. Okay, now for threat 2. Insider threats and privilege misuse. This is the trusted employee, whether they're malicious or just careless.
And because they already have legitimate authorized access, their activity can be almost invisible until the data is already gone. Your traditional perimeter tools, they miss this entirely because the activity is technically allowed.
So how do you stop that?
It requires hyper-focused access control. Think zero trust principles. You limit access strictly to what the job requires, which means you're constantly reviewing and removing privileges that aren't being used.
But that sounds like a practical nightmare for IT. How do you balance that level of restriction with letting people actually do their jobs without creating so much friction they just rebel.
That's the tension, right? You need modern tools that apply policy intelligently based on context, the user's role, the data classification, the destination. So instead of a blanket no, the system might let a marketing file be emailed out, but it will automatically encrypt a spreadsheet with customer data if someone tries to move it to, say, a personal cloud drive.
So the control is invisible until the moment of risk.
Precisely.
That makes sense. Now for threat three, which is maybe the most rapidly evolving, ransomware and malware. When I hear ransomware, I still picture files being locked and a scary pop-up demanding Bitcoin. But that's not the main goal anymore, is it?
It is emphatically not. What's fascinating here is the complete strategic shift. Modern ransomware is now almost exclusively designed to steal data, not just encrypt it.
Steal it.
The Black Fog research we reviewed was staggering. It indicated that data theft is the actual objective in 96% of recorded ransomware attacks.
96%. That completely reframes the threat. So the encryption, the lock screen, that's just the final tactic, the leverage to get paid.
Exactly. That's the secondary lever. The core criminal activity involves the threat actor spending weeks, even months, inside the environment. That's the dwell time. They're mapping data, staging it, and quietly exfiltrating files. They only use encryption at the very end to threaten public exposure if the ransom isn't paid.
So they get paid twice. Once to unlock your systems, and again, to promise they won't dump your secrets online.
You got it.
So, if the data is stolen long before the encryption hits, defenses that wait for that final payload are... Well, they're useless for preventing the breach itself.
They're completely useless. So the prevention has to shift entirely to outbound monitoring. You have to be watching all outbound traffic for suspicious transfers that happen before the encryption event. You need endpoint controls that are looking for the signs of data staging and stopping it in real time.
Okay, so that's a perfect transition. We've talked about the vectors that exploit identity and trust, but now we have to talk about the network itself, the edges and the hidden gaps that attackers rely on.
Right. This is where complexity and scale really become the enemy, especially in these hybrid and cloud environments that don't have that old school centralized control.
Which brings us to threat four, cloud misconfigurations and shadow IT. I think a lot of people assume cloud security is the provider's job, but the failure is often on the user's end, isn't it?
It is. Weak identity controls, overly permissive access, or just a simple misconfiguration that leaves a storage bucket wide open to the internet.
And then there's shadow IT.
Oh, the pervasive problem of shadow IT. The unsanctioned apps and repositories that employees use because they're just easier.
Right, they're convenient.
And they create these massive, constantly changing blind spots. An attacker doesn't need a complex exploit. They just need to find the data that was accidentally left visible in a tool that doesn't have any corporate security policies on it.
So prevention here is really about visibility and consistent rules.
Visibility and control uniformity, exactly. Continuously assessing your cloud configurations, enforcing strong identity controls everywhere, and crucially, getting visibility into those unsanctioned tools so you can apply the same security policies across the board.
Okay, threat five, third party and supply chain breaches. This one feels like the breach that just keeps on giving.
It really is. If your business relies on an MSP, a SaaS provider, a contractor, you're only as secure as their weakest link.
And the scary part is their access is legitimate, right?
Completely legitimate. So an attacker who compromises a vendor, say, through a phishing attack on their finance team, they instantly get a trusted, remote foothold inside your network. Their malicious activity just blends right in with normal traffic.
So if we have to rely on these partners, how do we practically prevent their compromises from becoming our breaches?
The core strategy is isolation and limitation. You limit their access strictly to the systems and data they absolutely need. You continuously monitor their activity and you use robust network segmentation. If a vendor only needs to access system A, they should not be able to even see system B. It's that simple.
And finally, threat six, lost or unsecured endpoints, laptops, mobile devices. The sources all say remote work has made this a much bigger risk.
A massive risk. The prevention here is twofold, physical and behavioral.
Mm-hmm.
Physically, data on all endpoints must be encrypted, full stop. Behaviorally, you have to restrict the use of things like USB drives and, just like with the insider threat, monitor the endpoint for any abnormal attempt to move high-value data off the device.
Okay, that covers the six main vectors. Now let's get into the mechanics of the actual theft, because this is where the attackers are trying their absolute hardest to blend in, right? Mm-hmm. The exfiltration itself.
This is the real cat and mouse game. Cybercriminals know that moving massive amounts of stolen data is noisy. It sets off alarms. So they use these sophisticated stealth techniques designed to just mimic routine everyday network traffic.
So if you want to stop the breach, you have to understand the disguises.
You have to.
So give us the rundown on the three main stealth methods, starting with the most common one.
Number one, they hide stolen data inside legitimate protocols, primarily HTTPS.
Okay.
Think about it. Almost all of your routine internet traffic is encrypted with HTTPS. So attackers just tunnel the stolen data through an encrypted HTTPS connection. To any basic firewall, it looks exactly like you're just checking a website. The data is hidden in plain sight.
That's terrifying, because HTTPS is literally everywhere. And then there's the even sneakier method, DNS exfiltration.
This one is genuinely tricky to spot. DNS is the system that, you know, translates domain names into IP addresses. It's constant, it's fast. With DNS exfiltration, attackers encode a small chunk of stolen data into the actual domain name they're requesting.
Wait, they're writing the data into the request itself?
Exactly. So instead of requesting google.com,
right,
they might request chunk123 of secretdata.malicious-server.com. The request fails silently, but their server receives that encoded chunk of data.
And nobody's really inspecting those requests in depth.
Almost never. They're optimized for speed, so the data just trickles out, totally undetected.
And if they really want to avoid any volume alarms, they use the low and slow methods.
Absolutely essential for a persistent breach. Instead of moving, say, a gigabyte all at once, which would trigger an alert, they extract tiny amounts, a few megabytes over hours, days, even weeks. They are specifically exploiting the fact that your network generates huge volumes of legitimate outbound traffic every single day. Their tiny malicious stream is perfectly masked by the noise of normal.
This really emphasizes the proactive requirement, doesn't it? If the threat is using common protocols and low-volume stealth, you can't just wait for a known signature or a big data spike.
You absolutely cannot. Stopping these threats means you have to review all outbound data movement, not just the size, but the context, the destination, the protocol, in real time, across every single endpoint. And the hard part is doing it without slowing everything down for legitimate users.
Which is why you need more than just tools. It requires an organizational strategy.
Mm.
So how do we build a prevention policy that actually works?
The sources make a really strong point here. An effective policy starts with culture, not a document on a shelf.
What do you mean by that?
Policies fail if they're poorly communicated, or more often, if the security controls create so much friction that employees just find workarounds. If it takes 3 extra steps and 20 minutes to safely share a file,
they're just going to email it to their personal cloud.
In 3 clicks, and you've just massively increased your risk.
So if security culture is the foundation, what are the key structural elements of a successful policy?
Data protection has to be treated as a core business priority, not just a compliance checkbox. The key elements are, 1, a clear, simple way to classify sensitive data, 2, strictly enforced access controls based on least privilege, and 3, operationally, that continuous monitoring of outbound data movement, coupled with regular training that actually uses real-world examples.
And it's all about translating that high-level strategy into consistent action, right?
Yeah.
Where do organizations usually create blind spots?
The biggest gaps in coverage. The prevention measures have to be everywhere. Data lives and moves.
Yep.
Your core network, the cloud, mobile devices, third-party connections, no exceptions. If your policy is great on a company laptop but allows an employee to upload that same data unencrypted to a personal cloud service, that's a massive blind spot.
And what about accountability? How do we know if we're actually succeeding? What are the metrics beyond just, we didn't have a breach this quarter?
Success requires total visibility and measurability. You need to know when sensitive data is accessed, who's accessing it, and where it's going. But crucially, instead of just counting breaches, you should focus on proactive metrics.
Like what?
Like blocked exfiltration attempts, measuring your exposure risk scores, tracking containment times. How fast can you isolate a potentially compromised user? These metrics prove your proactive controls are working. They show you what you stopped, not just what you suffered.
That brings us full circle. By prioritizing this proactive prevention approach, the benefits are clear. Reduced likelihood of exposure, lower financial impact, stronger defenses against insiders, and, crucially, better resilience against those modern ransomware attacks that rely on that quiet data theft.
Absolutely. Organizations that shift their focus and their budget from just detection and towards stopping information from ever leaving, they're the ones who are going to stay ahead in this environment. The days of just catching the thief after they've left are over.
That's a fantastic summary. I'm still stuck on a couple of things, though. That 96% of ransomware is really about stealing data and the sheer stealth of something like DNS exfiltration. It just means you cannot afford to have any gaps in your visibility anymore.
That leads us right into our closing thought for you, the learner. Given that these low and slow exfiltration methods rely entirely on exploiting the daily volume of network traffic, the sheer noise of the internet, how drastically must we rethink our baseline definition of normal network behavior to truly protect our data? And what are the immediate implications for adopting transformative new tech like generative AI tools if they suddenly add another huge layer of acceptable routine outbound traffic? That's a fundamental challenge every enterprise needs to confront right now before that new traffic becomes the perfect camouflage for tomorrow's breach.
Food for thought indeed. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into proactive data breach prevention.